Yeah, I got him. I got him good. Be pressing too much. I don't mess with him too much, but tonight may be a change. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that what you want to say be said. We give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4. Well, you know we always start there, but I may want to do something a little different tonight. Let's see where we are. Well, Apostle Paul was, you go through all these chapters and we go to, you know, like we read in Ephesians, and a lot of times these, I like to say this, be clear. My mic is on, right? I say it'll be clear so we know what's going on. Context is everything. Knowing what's going on, knowing what state of mind these scriptures were written in. I know the Bible says that all scripture was given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but it still is according to the time and the vehicle, the vessel that they were using. And so, of course, different things would be said during Abraham's time than it would be in Paul's time. Even the New Testament, I just give you a little study, even the New Testament, when it was translated, it was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in old Hebrew. And old Arabic writing and different things of that nature. But Paul wrote most of the New Testament in Greek. Why did he write it that way? Because he was trying to reach more people. The old Hebrew is not a easy language to interpret. It's not easy to interpret. I've tried a couple of times to start learning. But then the Lord, I guess, slowed me down and said, you better just learn what you learn. You know what you know. But I've started a couple of times, but it's very... there are some words that are written in King James Version English that really don't translate the same way. So it's good to go look at some of those things. They got the Torah and the Tanakh, and I don't get into all of it, but sometimes I like to do it just to study. But there is more built off of sound and the tone of how you say a thing. You ever hear the Arabic people talk? They talk real strong, talk real forceful, and a lot of what they say comes out of the tone that it comes in. And so a lot of times that can't be translated. So Paul said, well, let me write. He's a very scholarly person. Paul was very, very intelligent. When he said, I count myself not to apprehend it, he had to make himself not lean on what he had learned as a scholar. He was well-versed. He knew all the laws. He knew different languages. And so Paul, with his endeavor to spread the gospel, wrote the New Testament in Greek, mostly Greek. And so... The context, all of these different things are important. So now when you see Paul, a lot of times we take the word of God, we don't understand what's going on. We just call the word of God the Bible. We don't understand what's really happening, what's really being told to us. So now in this, when we're in Ephesians, Paul is talking to a church or a group of people or a body of believers, right, in Ephesus. All right, you go to Philippians, you go to Corinthians, you go to all the different things. This is what's going on. So he's actually giving instructions and telling them how to function as a church. Even when we hear Paul say that I may know him in the power of resurrection, he's talking to church. He's talking to a church on how to be a church. Many times we become biblically selective. I like to use that word. So we take the scripture and we jump on it and try to make a message or make a doctrine or put it on whatever it is that we believe for at the time, when in actuality Paul had a meaning for saying that I may know him. He's talking in a congregation to a group of people, and he said, listen, I'm here to teach y'all nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We can go to this subject and this subject and this subject and this subject and this subject, but if this subject doesn't bounce off of Jesus Christ and him crucified, and that he is you and you are him, right, and that he is telling you who you are, then the subject lines or the things that you're trying to get across won't have the body or the fire or the life in it because you left out the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the... So if we leave him out and don't base it on him, which is the rock, the foundation of the church, then we'll be functioning on a lot of opinion. So Ephesians 4, do I want to start here or not? Let's start here. Philippians chapter 2. And many times, let's see. Many times, we jump to our favorite, so we all know verse 5. Go to verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5. Y'all see it?
Yes, sir.
Ready, read. And so we get that in a lot of the renew your mind messages, or a lot of the get your mind right messages, or think like this messages, and we jump to that one scripture, and it's a good scripture. Praise God for that, right? But if we read context, let's start off with verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in where? Christ. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Y'all see that? One accord and of one mind. Just like-minded. The same thing. If you can do anything, I want you to do this. All right? This is what Paul is saying. And we're going to put this one accord, one mind with what we see in Ephesians 4. Paul's message didn't change much. You go read through all the churches, all his messages. His evangelistic message didn't change much. The only reason he started talking about a lot of other subjects is because they started asking questions about stuff that didn't matter. And so Paul had to correct them and put them in their place. But his message didn't change. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. This sounds like Ephesians 4, don't it? Look not on every man of his own things, but every man on the things of others. Verse 5, let this mind, that's the mind right there, right? Be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying in verse 5 is, I want you to be thinking like Jesus. Everybody say let. Let. When you look at the word let, it means to allow something, all right? So to me, if I let somebody in, I allow them to come in. And for many times I look at the scripture and I was always talking about, well, let the mind come in. So now I'm listening to somebody preach and I'm listening and I let the mind come in. No. He said, let this mind. What's the next word? Be. So let it be. That means it's already in there, but let it be. You already have the mind of Christ on the inside of you, but you've got to allow it to be. Well, how do I allow it to be? Well, now I study. You have not so learned Christ. It said in Ephesians 4. Now I'm going to study Christ more, study more about Christ. I love everybody else, but I'm studying Christ. Because once I study Christ, I'm changing my consciousness in one accord, one mind, like-minded, lining myself up, and I'm allowing this thing that's already on the inside of me to come out. You get it? This thing that's always on the inside of me yearning to come out, I'm aligning myself so that it can flow what it needs to flow. Truth of the matter is, you already got it, it's already in you, and it's already trying to flow out. You have kinks in your hose. You ever had a kink in the hose? Like in the hose pipe, and the water wouldn't come out? Or if the piping is a little off, or the piping is clogged up, then the water can't flow. It's not that there's no water. You get it? It's something wrong with the vessel. Are you understanding me? It's something inside the vessel that's keeping the flow from flowing like it should. So now verse 5, it says, let this mind be. Everybody say, let this mind be.
Let this mind.
Come on, say it again. Say, let this mind be.
Let this mind.
Come on, tell yourself, I got to let this mind be. Say it.
I gotta let this mind.
Now, where do you let the mind be? In me. It's already in you. Right? Greater is he that is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's scripture, right?
Yeah.
So it's already in you. In a little while, we're going to see in verse 13, I think it is God was working in you. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but it's already in you, but you've got to let it. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's a mouthful right there. Equal with God. Whew. Y'all see that? We just skip over that one, don't we? Are we? This is what we do with the Bible. We skip over it and make us a little nervous. We just leave it alone. Because I don't know about that. But no, it's here. We can't jump on another scripture and be all fortified on another scripture and not search this one out. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being in the form of God, y'all see that? who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Look at the scripture. Who being in the form of God, thought it not. So we're not talking about a spirit flying through the air. We're talking about in the body form. Who being in the form of God. You remember in the beginning, he made us in his image and his. All right, so now he formed them up from the dust. He literally used that word. So being in the form of God, right, didn't think it was a problem to be walking around as the voice of God. Now, the number one trick that the, there's a bunch of number ones. So, you know, everybody like to use this. This is the one right here. Okay. One of the main tricks that the enemy has used on us over the years is, we're not worthy. Oh, God. And he's used this trick to get us out of our rightful sonship and our rightful joint heir with Christ. You know the scripture says you are joint heirs with Christ, right? What does a joint heir mean? You joint heir. It don't mean y'all joint. Every joint supplies, like in Ephesians 4, we're going to read in a minute. You're a joint heir. That means what he's an heir, you an heir. What he get, the works that I do shall you, and greater works than these. You get what I'm talking about? It's the same thing. So who being in the form of God? Let's stop there for a minute. Meditate. So now you got to realize you're in the form of God. No, say it. I am the form of God. You see, I didn't say in no more. You get it? Say, I am the form of God. Come on, say it again. Come on, say it again. Tell it make you nervous. It make you a little nervous. I am the form of God. When somebody looking for God, they need to look for me. God show up when I show up. Uh-oh. That makes you nervous? It should. That means you're going to another place. I am the form of God. You get it? I'm the form of God. I am the voice of God. I'm the messenger. We cool with being the servant of God, ain't we? It's all at the same thing. Who being in the form of God didn't think it was a problem. He didn't think he was stealing something from God. He didn't think, he didn't feel any kind of holdback from the Lord God. He didn't feel like he was taking any glory away from him. Okay, let's do this. We contradict ourselves out of the same mouth. Listen how we do things. We read the Bible and we contradict ourselves out of the same mouth. Out of the same mouth, the same mind, we contradict ourselves. Is God can God run out? Can God end? Can God not have enough? All right, right? God is infinite, right? So how is it that you can take glory from somebody that can't run out? I'll wait for that answer. How you gonna take from somebody that don't never run out? You get it? But we said, no, you better give God all the glory. Yes, yeah, he does. He get all the glory. He get all the glory through you. Are y'all getting me? So now who being in the form of God thought it not robbery. It is not robbery. It is not robbery. It is not robbery. You are not stealing anything. You are not doing anything wrong by believing that you can walk into a room and speak like God. It is nothing wrong with you walking in and saying, let there be light, and there was. If it's needed, it's needed. We got to change our mind. Come on, say, I got to change my mind. Come on, say, I have to change my mind. One more time, say, I have to change my mind. There is nothing wrong. We still live in a separated connotation where God is over there and we down here just running around trying to serve and make sure we do everything he wants us to do. God doesn't want to give us instructions to do things. He wants to live through us. He wants you to realize that y'all the same. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? This is the goal. So now, who being informed, this is what we're still talking about how church should function. Because once again, let me say it again before some of y'all walked in after. Paul didn't have a different message. He didn't preach different messages. He might have touched on a few other things because these people over here in this church was acting a fool. Or these people over here in this church had these issues. And so I would have to speak to these issues based on Jesus Christ. But my message was the same. Actually, if people would have really listened to Paul, if they would have really listened to the message, then everything that they needed to answer was inside of Jesus. But because they were caught up with so many other things, and they didn't want to slow down to see the Master, see the Lord in them, see Christ in them, they had all these questions. You really don't have a lot of questions, because if you really knew you were the answer, you wouldn't have a lot of questions. Say, I am the answer. Come on, say it again. Say, I am the answer. Come on, say it one more time. Say, I am the answer. I'm gonna help you out with being the answer. I don't want to lose it. Listen, say, I am the answer. We were talking today, and the Lord gave me a marvelous revelation. Say it again. Say, I am the answer. Now, sometimes when I'm talking, I'll talk to some of the fellas, and we'll be talking, and the Lord will give me a revelation, and I'll ask a question. You know, so what does this mean then, right? And a lot of times I have an answer, right? But I'm just trying to pull it out of them because the Lord told me today, if you come to church looking for an answer, right, you're going to get an answer. All right, I got a question for you, and I want you to be really honest, okay? Have you ever come to church looking for an answer, had something going on, you're looking for an answer, right? And you got an answer in church, but then it really didn't manifest like it's supposed to. Has it ever happened? Huh? I'm gonna tell you what your problem is. It's a separation. It's a disconnect. You have a disconnect, all right? Because, see, if you're looking for, I'll tell them young boys when we're talking, if you're looking for an answer and I give you an answer, then you're going to have my answer, and that's why you forget it so easy. That's why it doesn't have any power. That's why it doesn't manifest, because you're looking for an answer from the outside. But if I ever come to church realizing that I am the answer, if I come, it's going to change your life. Next time you hear Apostle Priest, it's going to change your life. When I come, I'm going to walk into service. You walk into your next class. I walk into the service knowing that I am the answer. But it's not high-minded, like, can't nobody tell me nothing. But I am the answer. And so now it's going to be an answer talking to an answer. And expanding my consciousness of the answer in me. Come on, y'all. It's going to be expanding the answer that I am. See, I'm already the answer to everything that comes up. But it's just, my hold up is my consciousness. Y'all know that. My hold up is, I believe, but Lord help my unbelief. Right. My hold up is my consciousness. So now I go from wanting something to being something. It changes my whole connotation with how I receive. Because now it is someone with a higher revelation of themselves as the answer that's raising your consciousness of you as the answer. This is why you can sit in the church. And you ever sat in the church before and the minister say something and it hit you, but it seemed like nobody else ain't moved? Yeah. I was like, boom, and it's like, what's wrong with these people, right? That's why. Because it's a different connotation. Everybody coming looking for deliverance when you come as deliverance. I am deliverance. Say it. Come on, say it again.
I am deliverance.
Come on, say it again.
I am deliverance.
And not I am delivered, and that's good too, but I am deliverance. See, if I am deliverance, then I'm already delivered. Because delivered is a response from deliverance. Y'all get that? So now when I come as the answer, say, I am the answer.
I am the answer.
Y'all get it? Say, I am the answer.
I am the answer.
Come on, say it again. Say, I am the answer.
I am the answer.
Next time a problem comes up, or something comes up in your mind, or a question, somebody may come and ask you a question in your family. I am the answer. You ain't got to say it to them. Hey, I am the answer. Nope. But you know. And the moment that you realize who you are, as I hear, I judge. Jesus was very, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by, you know, you can say that too. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God? We have a false humility. We have a false, it's a fake humility, a fake self-righteousness. Because of hindsight,
so because we know Jesus is our Savior and our Lord, Jesus gets a pass for saying some of the things, even though apostles come out and say the same kind of thing and you look at him sideways. Because y'all don't see him as Jesus. You don't see him as Christ. And you don't see him as Christ because you don't see you as Christ. Right, but without hindsight, without the mom and them and grandma and them and great grandma and them told me that Jesus was the Savior, you better not say nothing bad about Jesus. Don't use Jesus' name in vain. You better all that stuff. Right, without all of that, I probably would read the Bible and along with our meager, lowly social connotation right now, I probably think Jesus was kind of cocky. Mm-hmm.
Who is hindsight the best side? We read the Bible and we're like, yes, we serve the Lord. I don't went anywhere with him. If I was Peter, I don't went all the way to the cross with him. You're lying. If you was there and you ain't had them scriptures, and even if you got the scriptures sometimes, you still might not go. If you was there in that time and somebody said something like that and they said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, no man come to the Father but by me, you'd have left the service right then. It would have been a multitude. You'd have been like, I can't fool with this. Blasphemy. Y'all know it. Come on, y'all. I prove it to you, because if I say it right now, you're going to look at me like, this might have been, I'm going to call an apostle and come get him. This boy talking out his head now. Come on, y'all. It is not robbery. It is not a robbery. All right? But verse 7, so I want you to understand this frame of mind, this frame of being as Jesus. All right? Now, verse 7 even makes it more amazing to me how powerful Jesus is and how powerful we are if we can get his mind. Not get it, go get it from somewhere, but we can get his mind to come up. All right? Verse 7, but made himself of what? Now, y'all would have, I know I would have, probably. I'm working on it right now. Because I probably would have been like, Yeah, I'm Christ, and I told everybody in the room, I'm Reverend Christ. I'm Pastor Jesus. There's some preachers that I've dealt with, a lot of preachers. There's some preachers that will be angry with you if you don't call them whatever else. And out of respect, I call everybody what they are, because I'm going to call the sergeant the sergeant. I'm going to call everybody what it's supposed to be. I say Mr. and Mrs. I don't do anything like that, but they'll go out their way to get on you if you don't call. I'm a reverend. Go sit your tail down somewhere. I don't care what you are. Nobody asked you that. Get it? Made himself a no. And took upon him the form of a, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found as fashioned as a man, he did what? Humbled himself. Now, what humility really is, and I said this, I said it before, but I said it again. Humility is really understanding that you depend totally on God. All right? Now, remember what God is. You know what God is, right? In Ephesians 4, you know what? Where's God? Huh? And where else? Now, because you can't, I'm going to keep being imbalanced, all right? All right? Because if you go, we used to be God in the sky. Right? Then we say he's omnipresent, so he's everywhere, right? But he was everywhere else, but where? In us. Now we find out, we was quoting scripture, but didn't know he was in there, right? Now we find out he's where? So now God is above us and through us and in us. Above all, in all, and through all. You get it? All right? So now my connection, I'm humble. I totally depend on God. I depend on my inside. Are y'all seeing that? Yeah. I don't depend on outside. Your Lord told me something yesterday again. I just be listening. He be talking. All right. Do you know why the man of God can say something and it'll work better than if you said it at the house? But then after he said it, you go back and say it again and it'll work? You ever had that happen before? Yeah. It's because you believe in God in him more than you believe in God in you. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the man of God is trying to pick your godness up in your own consciousness. You get it? It's not that your words didn't work. You get it? But you have more trust in God speaking through him than God speaking through. See, apostles say that, man. He said, listen, I don't do a lot of counseling. He doesn't. For years. I don't do a lot of counseling. We have a really low rate of drama in this church. And the reason is because he teaches us how to be. You speak to, I'll never forget, and I said this story before, I said it again, Brother Hagin in the room, and he trying to minister to this person, and the healing line, he trying to minister to him, and they got this little demon in the corner screaming, yah, 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 making a bunch of noise, yah, yah. So he can't really hear, and so he's trying to get everything going, but the demon in there screaming, yah, yah. He said, so he's talking to the Lord, talking to God, right? I'm gonna teach a lesson. You're talking to God. I said, well, Lord, Make him be quiet. And the Lord told him, I can't. He said, no, God, you must have had it wrong. You said, God, you must have had it wrong. No, Lord, I must have heard that wrong. You must have said that wrong. What you mean? You sure don't mean that you can't. You must mean you ain't. Or you won't, right? No, he said, I can't. He said, you gotta do it. He said, you do it. He turns around, speak to the demon, and demon get quiet. It goes on to minister. Because God is always trying to show you who he is in you. My father, my literal father, is your apostle, he's my father and my apostle. Listen to me. The whole time, he's trying to show me the power that I have in me. So he's trying to train me. So the discipline, the correction, the rebuke, all of those different things, the reproof, all those different things are trying to season me to realize who I am in God and who God is in me. Are y'all understanding me? So my physical father wants me to know that same thing. What about God? If you ask for a fish, he's going to give you a serpent? Come on, that's scripture. This is the Bible talking about you now. If you ask for a piece of bread, will he give you a stone? So if that's the case, then his whole effort is to get you to understand who you are in him and who he is in you. You're like me. Mm-hmm. Jesus' whole message was, you're like me. They just wasn't getting it because they misinterpreted the scriptures and the scrolls so much that they was looking for Superman. Y'all know that? They misinterpreted the scriptures so much that they were looking for Superman. They thought when he's coming as a king, they didn't know he was coming from. This is why people didn't recognize Jesus. I got to go here for a second. People didn't recognize Jesus because Jesus came from the hood. He was from Nazareth. They said Nazareth was a hotbed of zealots. What it means is that's the hood. It's the ghetto. Like he's from the place where all the radicals were. The crazy folks. Jesus probably had some crazy cousins and all that. John the Baptist. Right, they say you got to eat locusts and wild and hairy and all that. Right. They're crazy. So he come from over there. They thought that when the scroll said it's going to be the king, a king was going to come, they thought he was going to come looking like David then. Or like Solomon. But ain't that God descended in a mystery? Ain't that God? And so now his whole point is I'm living my life to show you that you me. This is what you're supposed to look like. This is what you're supposed to be. You get it? This is where, so even Jesus, in all of it, Jesus used to do stuff like, y'all know these stories. Jesus was saying stuff like, go get this water, and it turned to wine. All right, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus was doing stuff like, bring the bread to me. Thank you. And feed thousands. Jesus was doing stuff like, he only sleeping. Y'all get that connotation? You got to use your imagination. He only sleeping, then he go up there, and then he do it. Lazarus come forth. He lands on people, blind eyes open. He doing all kinds, right? Walking on water. But this is the same dude that say, if I bear witness of myself, then my witness ain't true. How does that work? That's the miracle to me. All the other stuff ain't the miracle. The miracle to me is to be able to walk on the water and then tell somebody, listen, that ain't me. Although it was you. But if I bear witness of myself, then my witness ain't true. That's a miracle. That's actually the biggest miracle most children of God got to overcome. That's the biggest miracle they got to get through because be more high-minded. Think more higher than you. Get it? Humbling himself became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a what? Name. Given him what? Name. Whenever you see name, think about a character, all right? Don't think about how you sign your last name, first and last name, on the forms you filled out, or when you're writing your name on something. It's bigger than that. It's talking about character. Whenever somebody's name, it's talking about a character. So it's given him a character which is above every. Are y'all looking at it? Come on. Giving him a character that is above every. That at the character and the likeness and the being and the way at the name of Jesus. What's the next word? Wasn't y'all there? Verse 10. Come on, y'all. Come on, wake up now. What's the word?
Every.
At the name of Jesus. What's the next word?
Every.
What is every? Is there anything outside of every? No, so when you say bring me every one of them, I mean, you better not leave none at the house, right? Right? If I say, everybody stand up. Right? You don't get to pick and be like, well, I'm going to sit down. Everybody sit down. That means everybody under the sound of my voice. You understand? That's everything. Everything that's under the sound of my voice. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Wow. You ever sat there meditating on that? Well, how many knees that is? Of things in heaven and things in earth. I'll take a little time to meditate on that. I'm going to go meditate on verse 10 on my own. Cause I see something just now, but I ain't got time to meditate on it. I got to finish this class. And things under the earth. Verse 11, and that, what's that word again? Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What's every? So every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Now, because we're religious and because we fail religiously, right, we come up with excuses. On what we make excuses for what these scriptures mean. So now we think, this is how John the Baptist was too. Now we think that Jesus is going to come back and everybody going to have to bow one day. No, he's talking about right now in this time. He said the character of Jesus, that means when the character of Jesus show up, every knee got to bow and every tongue got to confess. So look at that. Every knee bowed, every tongue confessed. Now look at us as a church. It don't add up. Do it. It ain't working out the same, huh? Something's missing, ain't it? That right there, that scripture is the goal for what God wanted the church to be. Say, I am church.
I am church.
This is what you want the church to be. All right? But because of lack of character, and there's a certain type of character, because of lack of character, because of lack of that certain type of mind, because of a lack of going all the way into looking like Christ, now knees have the right to disobey you. And tongues don't have to say what you say. Because you're saying something out of character. You're talking out, the moment that you start talking lack, you're talking out of character. There's an old statement we used to tell people, stick to the script. Your favorite actor, you got a favorite actor? Or actor, somebody you like to watch in the movies, right? 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 Well, the reason you like them so much is because they know the script so well. And not only do they know the script so well, but they stick to the script. They don't get up in there and start improvising and start doing everything they want to do because the script has a certain way for the movie to come out. It's a certain way for the performance, performing miracles. There's a certain way for the performance to come out. So the thing says, so the statement is, even when I'm teaching some of my young brothers and stuff how to do, hey, yo, no, don't improv, don't do that. Stick to the script. Run the play like I told you to run the play. Stick to the script because I know how it's supposed to come out. There's a play we used to run in high school, my freshman year of high school, called Diamond. Diamond, run Diamond. And Diamond was a play with a man under the goal. I remember the man under the goal would throw the ball into the corner. Then he run in. And he went around one screen, two screens, three screens, and he opened for the shot. Right? And all he got to do is shoot. It worked every time. Listen, it worked every, listen to me. It worked every time we ran it. Of course, we couldn't run it in a row. Right? Because they were picking, but it worked every time. As long as you, and we had to practice it. We had to go over and over again. And we had to practice it over and over again. But if we ran it right and everybody played their part and set their screen like they're supposed to set, no illegal screens, get your spot and set your screen and play your part, huh? And be in position. If everybody played their part and was in position, you didn't have to be the shooter. You know, if me and Darius and Dante and Caleb and Drexel on team and Darius get buckets, we won. We live in a society, we always talk about basketball, we live in a society where we like to glorify these players, right? We like to glorify such, 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 such. Who the best player of all time? No. You can't tell somebody's the best player until you check out their team. Because I know some really, really good players that ain't win nothing because they ain't had no teams. You get it? So here's Jesus saying, listen, we treat Jesus like Michael Jordan. Or whatever your sport is. Or whatever your favorite thing is. We treat Jesus like a superstar when he say you too. I've seen really great players, and a lot of times they were great because they really knew who they were. And I've seen them play and they make other players better. If the other players come in with a submitted attitude, if they come in with a submitted attitude knowing, hey, you know what? I need to learn. You know more than me. Teach me, and then they get better. If they come in, submit it. That's Jesus. Well, what happened to the disciples? Well, you tell me a disciple wasn't always submitted? Yup. Because they was always worried about who's going to be the best among them. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, when I'm going to do this? Soon as he started talking, he said, how hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? It's harder than a camel to enter the eye of a needle. And then they say, well, Lord, what are we going to get? We left everything. What are we going to get? Individual. They're still thinking about I and not the team. You get it? True favor and true giftedness and true glory and whatever words you want to throw in there, anointing, all the words that you want to throw in, that really starts coming out of you when it's about the team. It'll bring the best out of you. It always does. Now this thing says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess it. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And a lot of times, these weren't even messages. These were letters Paul wrote. Are y'all hearing me? He wasn't up there preaching like I'm doing right now. Paul wrote a letter to him. What's that last line in verse 12? What's the first two words? Work out. Look at me. Work out. In order for you to work out, I got to come from in. So I work out. You get it? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, you read. Ready, read. Read again. No. God works on you. He works around you. Oh, where are you working at? For it is God. You see the big G, right? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God working in you. Say it. It's God working in me. Come on, say it again. Say it again.
It's God working in me.
These are the things you got to meditate. This church. Oh, this church unusual. This is why things haven't changed. This is why things haven't changed. This is why the church as a whole getting run over, or they're forgetting who they are. Now they're second guessing what they believe, and people falling away. All that stuff is because they're not walking in the character. It is God who worketh in you. Are you understanding that? No. So next time something come up, you can't panic. You can't be talking all kind of ways. Even if you, there shouldn't even be no discussion. How much discussion Jesus had? Who counseled Jesus? I'll wait. And Jesus had some time. He probably needed some counseling. I can imagine Jesus being in the place where he's giving. Who gave to Jesus? Right? We're connected with the Father, so he had all things. You get it? The Lord told me something yesterday. Apostle called everybody up to pray with him. And the Lord says, he said, I agree with y'all, what you believing for. And the Lord said, he said, now he's going to have to agree with them until they can agree with themselves. Really, God said to me like this. He said, but he said it. Not, but he said, I'll agree with you until you agree with yourself. Until you come into agreement. Two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. That's you. If two of you agree, that's you. See, the problem is your mind ain't agreeing with the Christ in you. So how can two accept they? Double-minded man is in how many ways? Oh, get it? You bring it to agreement. According, the word according, exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according, right? This is not the scripture, just not said one accord. Now see, hold on. Go back to flip over there real quick before we end the class. 333, I looked at it right this time. Ephesians 4. Let me find it real quick. Verse 7. Or verse 6. One God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all, just so you know it wasn't lying. Right? Verse 7. But unto everyone is give one of us is given grace. How? Huh? According to the measure of the gift of Christ. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It's a so. The amount of gracefulness that you walk in is according to the measure of Christ that you have. Let me change that. The amount of grace that you walk in is according, listen to me, is according to the measure of Christ that you realize. This is why you can have spurts of, God didn't, we're dealing with the kids, God didn't make bad days. God didn't make any bad days. In the beginning, did he say, and on the sixth day, he said, this one's going to be bad. And we didn't see that one, did we? Right? So God didn't make bad days, so why are you having them? Are y'all understanding me? Your lifestyle is going to go according to your measure of Christ. Did I say things not going to come? Yes, things are going to come up. You know how much stuff came up to Jesus? You realize that Jesus walking up and people was blind and lame and dying. And they were thronging him already, and a woman touched him with the issue of blood. Now, he had felt virtue come out that he ain't even sent out, and he on his way to go minister somebody. Can y'all imagine the pressures that come on? Can y'all imagine? So it wasn't that there weren't things that was in front of him that weren't as favorable, but the measure. Y'all get it? According to the measure. One accord. See, a one accord. Card, like a card, like a card, like a card. Now you gonna charge your phone with a card tonight, right? Right, little card you stick to your phone, right? Or you plug in the card to plug into your TV or whatever. That's a card. If you got a short in that wire, you got a problem. But then one, there's a bunch of different wires in there that's flowing to make one flow. Y'all hear that? So your mind must be aligned with the divine. You get it? Are you ready? This is how God works with apostles, so he be doing it with me too. Your mind must be aligned with the divine at all times. Say it. My mind. Say my mind.
My mind must be aligned with the divine at all times.
And one thing about a rhyme, rhymes with time and divine and aligned, right? But one thing about a rhyme is it helps you remember. Right, say it again.
My mind must be aligned with the divine at all times.
Now tomorrow we're gonna get a little shaky tomorrow, and you're gonna feel because you didn't pray as hard and you didn't get in the spirit as hard, and we ain't had no the presence coming down, and you say,
my mind must be aligned with the divine at all times.
Get it? Amen.